And good day to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for joining us here today on WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. And as always, we do thank you for listening. If you weren't listening, there's no reason for me to be here. And so I want to take just a moment, invite you out to our services Sunday morning. Maybe you're new to the area. We would like to invite you out. Our church, we like each other. We like to have fellowship with one another. Very, very few of us are even there are not many families that are related to one another in the church. We are a bunch of people who God brought to Brevard County from different places, different families, different regions of the country. And yet we found a place at the corner of Grove and Tangerine where we could worship together, grow together, serve together. And that's what we do. Our church exists to be a blessing. And some of the things that we do, we help, you know, people in the community that have needs. My wife and I recently got a phone call and said, "Hey, I need a ride," and so we ended up, you know, my wife had literally just got home from work, and 15 minutes later we were out the door, going to provide a ride to a lady from the church who was stuck a few miles away from where she needed to be, and so it doesn't have to be, you know, fancy, doesn't even have to be expensive. It's just about serving one another in love. So we exist to be a blessing to God. We have to be a blessing to our family, to be a blessing to our church, and to be a blessing to the community at large, spiritually, relationally, however we can be a blessing. That's what we try to do. So if you're new to the area and would like to come and join us as we lift up the name of Jesus, we focus on the word. We focus on prayer, and we focus on fellowship. And so those are some of the things that we do. We'd love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. I also focus on helping people to grow in their faith. Our Sunday school time at 9:30 is designed to do that. Our Wednesday night service is designed to do that. And so We really want people to advance in their walk with Jesus, and would love to have you come and be a part of that. Right now here on the Refresh Radio program, we're talking about the privilege that we have of praying and talking to God. And the best example of praying in the scripture is that of Jesus. And so we're going to begin this morning focusing on some of the different aspects and passages in the Word that talk about Jesus and his prayer life. A lot of people use prayer only to talk to their Heavenly Father whenever they have a need. That is not the type of praying that Jesus lived. It's not the type of praying that caused the disciples to say, "Hey, could you teach us to pray?" John taught his disciples to pray. Some of Jesus' disciples had been John's disciples, so they knew that. But they saw Jesus pray, and they said, "Could you teach us to pray?" Because praying, there's a lot of different approaches to prayer. There was a person that called the church years ago. They attended a few of our services, but due to health reasons, they really don't get to come to that many services. And they called and they left a prayer request on the answering machine, and then they thought they hung up. And they made a comment about a person at our church, And the comment was this: there's just something about when that lady prays that's different. That when she prays, you know, you just sense that there's a divine connection that was there. And that wasn't an insult to me. Actually, whenever someone compliments the spiritual dynamics in one of our parishioners, I get really excited about that. I really do. I get excited when they lead people to Jesus. I get excited when they pray the prayer of faith and people get healed. I'm excited when they become the person that God wants them to be. It's why I exist. It's not about me. It's about what does God want them to become. And so Jesus did not just pray, he modeled prayer. And when he prays, he's the goal. He's the goal. So there's a passage in the Gospel of Luke. It's in chapter 3, and it has to do with when John was baptizing people, and then Jesus comes to be baptized. And John was not originally going to be cooperative with that. He says, I don't need to baptize you. You have no sin. And Jesus said, I need you to baptize me so we can fulfill all righteousness. Jesus was not baptized to celebrate his sin being washed away. He was being baptized because he was the lamb that was going to take away the sin of the world. And so at that point in time, John the Baptist agreed, and that's what happened. And so let me take you to verse number 18. It says, and with many other exhortations, he preached to the people, but Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, also added to this above all, that he shut John up in prison. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. So because Jesus had set out on this journey to desire to do the will of the Father, delight to do the will of the Father, and obeyed so that the will of the Father would be accomplished, he went to John, he was baptized, and it says, and while he, capital H, prayed, the heaven was opened. And so prayer is not just whenever we are facing a crisis. Prayer has to do with the dynamic of the relationship that we have with our shepherd. It has to do with his leadership. And so Jesus is talking to the Father. He's talking to the Father all the while he is being baptized. And, you know, for believers, let me just say this about baptism. We practice baptism by immersion. That's what the word means. There are some places where that may not be possible. If a person's giving their life to Jesus, you know, like the thief on the cross, he gave his life to Jesus while he was on the cross, and Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. There wasn't an opportunity for him to be saved. He was minutes away from dying. So baptism doesn't save us. Baptism is something that is obedience Matthew 28 tells us to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we do. It is to fulfill righteousness. It is a public testimony in which we identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. A baptism is a person declaring to their friends, their family, their coworkers, hey, it is no longer I who live. It is Christ that is living in me. From this point forward, I am living as a disciple, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the goal is not to postpone that as long as possible. The goal is to get every believer to that point. And literally, I was baptizing this individual one time. Her family was being baptized, and so she invited her other family members, and one of them said, I want to confess that Jesus is my Lord. I want to be baptized. And when Philip encountered someone on the road to Gaza, the Ethiopian eunuch, and he starts telling him about Jesus, the eunuch stops the chariot and he says, "Here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And he says, "Hey, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, with all your heart, you know, if you're acknowledging him, then there's nothing that hinders you from being baptized. There's not classes you have to take. You should have a conversation with someone who says, I want to make sure that you understand that this is a spiritual celebration. It's a spiritual milestone. If you actually do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you have somebody put you under the water, but there's no residence of Jesus in your heart, if there's no forgiveness of sins, no repentance of sins, then you really haven't been baptized. You've just been wet. So this person said, "Hey, I want to be baptized." So come on up. And we had a conversation, and you know, they didn't even have the towel or anything like that. We have baptized. I did a baptism. You know, whenever someone comes and asks me, or we put out the invitation, "Hey, we're going to be doing a baptism." It's like, okay, do you want to be baptized in the church? Do you want to be baptized at the beach? Do you want to be baptized in a pool? We prefer that you take some time to invite your family and friends to come and be baptized, or to be a witness of your baptism, because some of them may see such a transformation in you that it's going to say, "Look, this is not just about their personality. Jesus has done a work in their life," and they come and they come to faith because they've seen what you do. Say, is baptism really that big of a deal? It is. There are some cultures in the world that if you abandon a particular belief system, an inferior belief system, and you embrace Christianity and you embrace Jesus as your Lord, they're okay with that. They can handle you believing in Jesus. But if you tell them, "I am going to be baptized and I am going to cease to worship all of these other things that you all have been worshiping, and I am going to worship Jesus and Jesus alone," that is a life-altering moment. Because at that point in time, their families will cut them off. They will lose their inheritance. Many of them will no longer be able to speak, not because of their, not because the Christians are cutting off relationship with them. That's what cults do. But because they have embraced Jesus and you know, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father, because they've embraced that exclusivity, their culture will cut them off, thinking that that will be intimidation enough to prevent them from being baptized, and it doesn't. There are some societies that when you take that step of faith, they realize that having a relationship with Jesus is worth more than anything in the world. So if we do not baptize infants. The only people that we baptize, and it doesn't have an age restriction on it, but the person has got to be able to explain to us what it is, why they are wanting to be baptized, and once they acknowledge that they understand what this truly means, then we will say, hey, we can make this happen. You just tell us where, you tell us when, and we will be there to celebrate that. So, Jesus comes and is baptized, and Luke here adds something that Matthew does not, and that is, he was baptized, and while he prayed. So, baptism was not a substitute for prayer. Jesus showed up to fulfill all righteousness. He did that to fulfill the will of the Father. And he came up and he said, I need to have a conversation with the Father. And I think that our days go better when we start our day with obedience, and we start our day in conversation with the one who has our best intentions in mind. You know, there's a verse that says that we were created with a purpose that God established for us before the foundation of the world. You see, it's not just Jesus that had a purpose. He was the lamb that was slain from before the foundation of the world, but God has good works for us to do from before the foundation of the world. And so it's very important for us to realize that he knows why we are still here on May the 2nd, 2025. Why am I here? And many people think, you know, it's to eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die. Wrong. That's not the purpose. Many people live their life to be happy when they fail to realize that the ultimate purpose for our life is to live holy and pleasing to God. So Jesus, the one who is one with the Father, who had glory with the Father before the foundation of the world, he shows up and he starts praying just as soon as the baptism is over. And man, it is so exciting to watch a new believer that is so excited. They've been liberated from the burden of sin that they had been carrying around, and all of a sudden there's this vibrancy, this eternal life that starts rising up inside of them. And I tell you, new believers should be inspirational to seasoned believers to keep up the good work. And seasoned believers should be there to minister to new believers, because there's going to be times that are very challenging that will come, and you need somebody who can help you navigate the waters. I don't pretend to understand everything there is to know about sea travel. I have been on some cruises. I've been on some boats in the ocean. I've been on boats in lakes. I've been in swimming holes and all. I don't understand all that has to do with sea travel. But I have read enough to know this, that there are some places that if you are traveling by water around the globe, that for some reason there are some places on that journey that are extremely treacherous, extremely dangerous, and a lot of casualties take place in these tumultuous waters. You really need to know what you are doing, that you can be going along in smooth waters and all of a sudden a storm arises and you find yourself in desperate need of somebody helping you in that journey. That's what new believers experience from seasoned believers whenever those storms or tumultuous times arise. So I pray all of our churches are filled with new believers, and also believers who are going to help those new believers survive the storms and the challenges. So what happens when Jesus prayed? It says, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Bible talks about that for unbelievers, whenever there's sin that is going on, that it's like the heavens are brass. But for believers who are walking in obedience, who are walking in humility, who are walking in obedience, the heavens are open. It is not like we are trying to pry open by force a door that God is trying to hold shut. That's not what happens with when we are praying from an obedient heart and we're in honest communication with God. God says, I want you to know the door's open. The door's open. And I pray that you walk under an open heaven. I pray that you live under an open heaven. I pray that our churches thrive with the windows of heaven being opened, the floodgates of heaven being opened, and the blessings of heaven being poured out. I pray that you experience that. But in this case, what came out of heaven, which was a blessing, but it wasn't the same sort of tangential blessings that we see, tangible blessings, not tangential, tangible blessings that we think of as resources or... What came out of heaven at Jesus' baptism was something that is priceless, and that was a word from heaven. Now, whenever I'm talking about open heavens and closed heavens, I do need to tell you there's a verse that talks about that the prayers of husbands can be hindered if there is strife and discord in a relationship in the home. I believe that the prayers of women, you know, the wife can also be hindered because that home is supposed to be a living example of the relationship, the covenant relationship between Christ and his church. It's supposed to be one that is healthy. It is supposed to be one that is holy. It is supposed to be a place of peace and a place of purpose, a place of love, of unity. And whenever that dynamic is not functioning, it throws up a barrier to our prayers. So we don't want to live like that. And so if you're going to pray, and it's not just husbands and wives, but Jesus also said, hey, if you're praying and someone's got something against you, just stop praying, go make peace with them, then come back and pray. Another place says if you're praying and remember you have something against somebody, stop what you're doing, go and make peace with them. And the picture is that if there is a strain in the relationship, go and meet each other. It shouldn't be one person putting in all the effort. It should be both people on the same destination, because the Holy Spirit works in person A's life and he works in person B's life, and he moves them to the place where there is peace and harmony between them. Then they will be able to experience a prayer breakthrough like they've never heard. So let me tell you what Jesus heard. You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. As a child of God, I want to tell you that God wants you to know this. You're his child. And when we're pleased, there's a minister I heard, he said, we had a conversation with his kids and he said, look, I will love you. I there is nothing that you can do, ever do, that will change the reality that I love you. He said, now how pleased I am with you and your actions, those are entirely dependent upon you. Jesus was walking in obedience and the Father said, well done, well done. You are my child. Don't forget you're his child. But also, and I pray this for earthly fathers, don't forget to celebrate your child's victories. If there's a victory at church, don't forget to celebrate it. So I've got a grandson, and I think I mentioned this recently. He came to visit me at the church, and we were out putting on the putting green that Treasure Your Landscape had blessed the church with, and every time he made a putt, now, mind you, it was a 2-inch putt, but every time I would start clapping and say, way to go, way to go. One time he made a 1-foot putt, and one time he made a putt and I didn't celebrate. So he threw his putter down on the ground and he started clapping. He said, it's time to celebrate. I celebrate your obedience. I celebrate your identity as a child of God. Have a blessed day as you talk to the Father.